here with Jay Frank, the founder of Dixon, and we're going to talk a little bit about Dixon. Is an independent label that works out of the U.S. And Jay has been on the show a couple of times before, so thanks for coming back. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. So, when we started talking maybe like 3 years ago, we went over a couple of the books that you wrote, and the most recent one being Hack Your Hit. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, I think in the last show we mentioned the fact that you were going to start a label, which is Dixon, and talk about, sort of putting your money where your mouth is in terms of going for an actual full-blown label and seeing how that works out. So a year in, first balance, how's things going?
I couldn't be happier. I mean, a year in, it's tough. I mean, no matter what anybody says, the music business is really, really hard. But what we've done is everything that I set out to be, we've hit our goals, which is that we utilize the web to be able to promote an act and build a story that we can then take to the larger industry. And then along the way, hopefully we can have some of those acts then actually reach out to the broader industry and grow. And of our signings, two of the acts have gone on to have actually some substantial hits. And most surprisingly is that they've actually been able to gain a lot of traction outside of the U.S. and help us actually start to slowly become a global independent record label, which for 1 year in, I'm really, really happy about.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how do you go about setting up your program, your roster, and did you have a specific schedule on how you wanted things to work out within Dixon?
Well, I think the most important thing was I wanted to find great acts with great songs. If we didn't have a great song, even if the act was talented, based on our business model of focusing on singles and short-term deals with artists, you don't really have a lot of time or money to develop an artist and get them to this place. So you have to have songs that you believe can be commercially successful. But we've had a lot of success largely by looking at all of the data. So when we put a single out, which we're doing, roughly once a month at this point, probably get to twice a month by the end of the year, what we're doing is we look at the Facebook activity, we look at the YouTube activity, we look at, how much conversions to sales, how many conversions to shares on Facebook, on Twitter, and other networks. And we take all of that in one big data look and see if we have something that shows potential to have success. And if we do, we keep putting marketing money behind it, and if we don't, then we move on to the next single. By doing that, that helps us minimize our cost on the back end for stuff that doesn't work, because I believe we go into it, we believe that every single song that we do is going to be a hit. Otherwise, why do it? But every executive, producer, songwriter, everybody in the industry has had plenty of experiences where they thought something was going to be a hit and it wasn't. Yeah. So I don't rely on my instinct alone. I rely on what the public tells me. But when we put it out, there's so much data now that we can be able to ascertain pretty quickly which songs have the largest potential to be a hit. And then we put our energies behind that. And then obviously the results end up being outsized and they can it really helps out overall.
Yeah, of course. And I had a couple of really great stories coming out from the past year, and one of it is Jen Bostick. Mm-hmm. And she actually had quite a big success here in the UK. So can you tell us a little bit how that happened?
Well, sure. Well, from Jen is a Nashville-based artist, and from the get-go, we experienced solid activity in the U.S., and we knew, again, that people heard the song, and the right people heard the song, that they would tell their friends, and they'd really enjoy it. The U.K. was always our number two market, but we didn't spend our time actively going after it because she's based in the U.S., and cost-wise, it just made sense. Yeah. Well, but one of those fans that we nurtured through the web went and loved the song so much, they requested it on a radio station here, Smooth Radio here in the UK. So one morning we wake up and her Twitter feed is just full of this activity. And we're like, where is this coming from? And we dug back and we found out Smooth Radio had played it and caused an enormous reaction. And they got a bigger reaction than they normally would. And I believe the reason why was because we had set the marketplace. There was already a substantial number of people who knew the song. We had tested the song. We knew that by putting our effort behind it, we knew that the song would get a reaction. And once it actually then filtered its way up organically to the radio station, it did. And then they played it several times that week. We sold a lot of copies. And through that, we then said, okay, now let's work on hiring the proper team because we have the data that says this is worthwhile. And you know, she's right now in the middle of her second UK tour as we're taping this. Half of the dates have sold out. And sales have consistently gone up. She's gotten just about every big UK press look and number one iTunes singer songwriter record, but it's all happened organically, and because all of the data showed us where we needed to put our marketing efforts behind, and therefore the marketing efforts actually yielded a lot of success that's now growing into even bigger success for her.
Yeah, sure. And how do you find managing something that blows up in the UK? How was your first reaction to this, and how did you go about actually sorting it out in the sense of finding a way to maximize this?
Well, at first it was a little bit of a difficult challenge because we don't have a UK office per se. But very quickly it said, okay, we have this opportunity. Let's find the most trusted individuals that we could find to be able to handle all of the things that we need. And so we hired a small core team of people for radio, press, and distribution. And they've all been fantastic because we didn't go and find somebody to just hire. We found people that believed in the record and believed in what could happen. And all of them, John Turner over at Radio, Turner Spear, and the Absolute, who's handling a lot of distribution for us over here, they've all gone the extra mile to be able to deliver more and more for her, and that's shown in everything that we've delivered. So, I think globally for the project, we're starting to make our profits on that front. But just if we took the UK alone, everything is going really, really well, and even so much that we're now able to bring her here on this tour, and through this tour we're setting up the dates because she's going and doing these clubs. I said that half of the clubs are selling out and promoters are coming and seeing it and saying, okay, now we need her to come back because we want her to do a bigger theater, we want her to be in this festival. And so we can feel that this is organically a story that's just going to grow and get bigger and bigger, and through that, collectively between us and the artist, we're investing everything back into her because we know that over the next 2 years this can be substantial.
Yeah, of course. And so we talked about the importance of cultivating a fan base, of course, and also the importance of radio to break an act, which is, in the UK at least, to properly break an act you need some sort of radio support. Let's talk about sync as well, because that's an area where artists have really seen great results, especially on the indie front, because it can give you some exposure that you wouldn't otherwise get. So that's your second sort of success story from the past year, and would you care to elaborate a bit on that?
Absolutely. We have an act called Bronze Radio Return in the States, and the best way to describe them is they're like Mumford & Sons if they plugged in their instruments. And they had built, before I'd gotten to them and started working with them, they had built up a really strong critical following on their own, and just needed something to help out and just start to connect some of the dots a little bit more. So I worked with them, and collectively as a group, I can't even say that we take credit for it. It literally has been a group effort between myself, their manager, Chris Maltese, and the band, to really be able to go and find every possible opportunity and use each opportunity to grow. So for them, they got a lot of respect in the sync world very, very early on. And what we did was we took the sync stuff to leverage it to grow a bigger story online so that they could be able to go and show that, they have, over 500,000 YouTube views, that they have over, 20,000 downloads sold. And then through that, they then went and we took that story, and that enabled them to get more syncs. And then that led to big syncs like last fall, where they got a sync for the Nissan Leaf commercial worldwide. And then we leveraged that to then go and say, now we have enough of a story to take to radio. So we went to AAA radio in the U.S., have several stations in the U.S. who have become big believers very, very quickly, that's grown their story. And then through charting at AAA radio, then they all of a sudden get more syncs. And coincidentally, what some of that led to was actually a sync with Top Shop here in the UK, online only, but because, again, we knew from the data that the song reacted when it's put in front of the right people, that sync overreacted to what they normally get, and we then started selling hundreds of downloads a week in the UK with no radio play. Yeah. And so now we have a story here in the UK that hopefully we'll be able to leverage to potentially get radio play because we now have awareness. And by the way, that sync leading to those sales has now led to other sync opportunities in the UK that we wouldn't have. And that's all we're trying to do, is we take the data and we take all the information that comes in and says, can we leverage each one to take everything to the next level, to make it a big story? But not try to do it in that way of saying, let's spend $500,000 and try to make it happen in 2 months. It's spending wisely. It's reinvesting everything that we get in because we believe it's about crossing the finish line.
Yeah.
And with the songs, we work with Master and Publishing on our songs, so that allows us a greater flexibility. We put in all of that reinvestment because we feel that once it really crosses over into that threshold, the profit margins on songs, individual songs right now, are tremendous when they hit. So because we follow the data to know which songs can be the biggest hits, and because we reinvest in a smart, strategic fashion, we've now put ourselves onto this profitability path that I think is actually probably a year ahead of schedule for my original idea.
That's awesome. And going from talking about Digsyn as a label to generically, what we're talking about here is a pattern of actions and reactions, and the question of really being able to break a song or an act really boils down to whether you are able to react quickly enough to an external factor, because most of the time you're not really in control of what's going to happen to your artist's track, and you just have to react to whatever external factors come into the campaign. So on that front, you also have a consultancy business where you help people identify some of those points where they can actually work on and react to. And so how is that going, and how do you see that evolving?
Well, what we had along the way is we had a lot of people who came to me, and as you might imagine, a lot of artists want to maintain their own ownership. There's a lot of people really believing in the DIY movement in music, and I think that that's extremely important. So plenty of people who've come up to me and said, Jay, we'd love to work with you, we want to do what the label stuff is, but we'd rather hire you than be signed to the label. So we started that end of the business, and that's really taken off because we're really able to, again, just synthesize the data and focus people in the right way to be able to help grow their business, as long as they're willing to be patient and realize that we're not a magic shop. We're not going to be able to come in and make them huge successes in 30 to 60 days. It's an ongoing process. For most people, that actually involves really helping out on social networking, and I include YouTube and social networking. And part of the reason why we're successful is because for artists, we don't call it social networking. We call it broadcasting. And my background has been time at Yahoo, time at MTV Networks. I've managed radio stations. So I understand what a broadcaster actually needs to be able to look at the numbers hour by hour, day by day, to know what to program, when, and how to be able to grow the biggest audience possible. So we take that same philosophy to somebody's social feeds, and through that, their social feeds, their engagement shoots up 200-400% often. Their likes double per week, and their audience grows, not because they're saying anything drastically different than what they were saying, but because we're helping them fine-tune the message and put it out at the right times in the right way, so that it's not just putting everything out. The other thing is that most artists, quite frankly, think that their social feed is what I call a boring two-note feed, which is that basically they go and they say, here's a post about my music, and here's a post about my tour, and here's a post about my music, and here's a post about my tour. And that's really boring for fans. They want to know everything. They want to know the whole picture. So we help to flesh out a much bigger growth story for them, so that they can really be full-fledged musicians and talent, and really just talk about everything that they do. And through that, they experience this enormous growth and grow more fans, and that ultimately grows their business and their ability to leverage that for syncs, radio play, etc.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for your time. And the website is digsyn.com. Thanks for coming on the show once again.
Andre, thank you so much. Always good to see you.